Bibles again, if you would please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 18, and then also Jeremiah 32. Chapter 18, verse number 1, "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. And said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away. And I pray thee from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, and knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man. And he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life." You ought to at least make a mental mark of that word, the time. The time of life. "And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. And this is a big word too. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. Notice that. She laughed within herself because, I'll deal with that in just a minute. But in verse number 11, she just got through saying, the Bible said there that it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She had saw that going on in herself. She saw all of this taking place over the course of years, and that was the conclusion. And seeing what was being done in herself there, she laughed. She laughed, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, there's that word time again. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And before we get too critical of Sarah, which I was making a little comment this morning about her, I found this afternoon reading these verses and passages and chapters and stuff around, I found in chapter 17 of Genesis and verse number 17 where Abraham laughed. When the angel told Abraham that they're going to have a seed and going to have a son, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Isn't that something? And so Abraham laughed as well. But anyway, of course, then it goes to verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. Let's bow for this moment of prayer. Father, I thank you for the privilege to be here, and I thank you, Lord, for the singing tonight. I thank you, Lord, for helping us this morning and showing grace and mercy to us. We give you praise for that. Thank you for these that have come to service tonight, our visitors for being with us as well. We pray, Lord, your blessings on them, and Lord, that you would use them, Lord, for your glory. And Lord, I thank you for having us to be on this truth right here. Lord, I believe you're wanting to help us with it. I believe you're wanting to challenge us in our faith concerning this. And may we receive it, Lord, and act upon it. Thank you again for the scriptures. Have your will and your way tonight. Get our attention. Speak to us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The question is asked in chapter 18, verse number 14, in the setting of what you might say would be a supernatural birth. Supernatural means that which is beyond nature, that which is not naturally possible is possible with God. And so the question is proposed here, is anything too hard for the Lord? Anytime there's a question that is asked like this, especially when it's coming from the Lord, he means for that to be answered. And he means that there is an answer. Is anything to the Lord? In other words, he could say it like this, and I'm going to insert something for just added emphasis. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now answer me. I want you to respond to that. I want you to answer that. Of course, you don't see them answering that. You don't see an answer coming from them. Their laughing was an answer of unbelief. But what happens here is anything, you think all of this is impossible because it's not natural. You think it's impossible because you're looking to yourself. You're looking at what you can do. You're looking at what used to be and has been once upon a time, but is no longer. You're coming to the conclusion of what can be in light of what used to be. Boy, aren't we bad about getting there. We can't hardly grab a hold of, by faith, what God can do because we're so hung up on what used to be that no longer seemingly is. This is a different day. You can't deny that. It's a different hour. God's not different. The Word of God is not different, but our day is different. And God's people seemingly are different. Amen. And it's not that way by sovereignty either. We're different, and the church age of our day is different because people are making choices to be that way. We're on the spiritual level that we are because of that. But they couldn't get a hold of the supernatural. They couldn't believe God for the supernatural because they were so controlled by what makes sense and what was reasonable and what could be explained and what had been done before. You know why they made the statement that you know, we're old and well stricken in years, and Sarah had passed the time of the manner of women? You know why they made that statement? That was the way it's been from the garden right on down. Certain age, childbearing's over. Isn't that something? So they made that assumption from that. It's never been done before. So, Lord, you surely are not asking me to do something that's never been done before. Lord, surely you're not wanting to do something in our day, a big thing in our day, an unusual thing in our day that has never been done before. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I want you, in light of what we're telling you that God is saying, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, verbally, there's not a person in here would stand up and say, yes, preacher, this is too hard for the Lord. That's too hard for the Lord. This is too hard for the Lord. But I want to tell you what, our action shows that. Our action and our lack of faith shows that. Amen. Let me just jump out here and ask you a question to help prove that point. What exactly are you praying for that is not possible? What are you praying about that you know apart from God is an absolute impossibility? But you're praying about it anyway, though it's impossible with man, it is possible with God. You're praying about it anyway because God is not hung up in the natural. He's not limited in the natural realm. Amen. That's right. So he asked the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And then in Jeremiah 32, we're going to come back there in just a moment. But in Jeremiah 32, both the question that was asked in our text is asked again in this passage of Scripture. In Jeremiah 32, 27, in Jeremiah 32, 27, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, see, in Genesis 18, that was the angel of the Lord that was asking that question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord is wanting you to respond with an answer. Can you come up with an answer? Is there an answer that says, yes, Lord, there are something too hard for you. There is something too hard for you. Verse 27 of that of Jeremiah 32, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? A question again. But look in the same chapter, chapter 32 of Jeremiah, verse 17. Oh, Lord God, exclamation mark. Behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. There is nothing, there is nothing too hard for the Lord or for thee. So we have it mentioned three times in the Scripture. Two times it's a question, and one time it's a statement. I believe God wants us to have a faith that does not put the ability of God into a question. I believe God wants us to have a faith, and I believe it is biblical faith. I believe it's faith that the Spirit of God's wanting to produce in us that doesn't put the ability of God into the natural realm in a question, but it makes a statement. There is nothing too hard for thee. And unless we don't get back here, and we probably won't, but this verse ends with that statement, there is nothing too hard for thee. But the first part of the verse gives the groundwork or foundation on which that statement is made. Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. Now I want to ask you something. How much of that was done with natural means? When you manufacture something, you take things that are and make things out of that. When you construct something, you do the same. But when there's a created act of God, as we know Genesis chapter number 1, and by the way, we still believe in the creation account of Scripture. I know we're in a day when everywhere you look, that's being made fun of, made light of, that it's not so. Oh, y'all are them creationists. You believe in that God spoke everything into existence and created everything in 6 days. Literal 24-hour days. You got that right. I can't explain it. I can't explain all everything that makes up this world and the universe. I can't explain all that, and neither can you. I can't explain the minute parts of it. I can't explain the majestic part of it. I don't understand why the sun hasn't had to be refueled. I don't understand why that it keeps burning now for all these thousands of years. Amen. I don't know all that, but I know this. When it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, I believe every word of that. Are y'all listening? Genesis is the first book of your Bible, and Revelation is the last book of your Bible. And those two books are under most of the attacks in our day. You know why? The devil wants to mess you up on your start. And he wants to mess you up on your finish, your ending. He wants to mess you up on what you believe about where you come from. Amen. He wants to mess you up of where you're going. Amen. That's right. But anyway, here the statement is made based on creation. Can I say that creation says there's nothing too hard for the Lord? Can we look at that personally tonight? Can we look at that personally? If the God I'm serving that's committed with a covenant to take care of me, if he has created worlds for me, he has created worlds with nothing except the word of his power, can he not take care of me? Is there anything? Are we going to leave that like it is? Both times it's a question. No answer. Silence when that question is asked. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? You know why? Because nothing you're saying is going to make sense. Well, yes, Lord. I've got a valley that's too hard for you. Really? Tell me about it. Yeah, I've got an issue that's too... I've got a circumstance that's it's too hard. I've got a stronghold in my life that's too hard. Really? It's too hard for me? Never does it say in the Scripture about anything being too hard for us. That don't even have to be asked. That's understood. We don't trip over the too hard stuff. Say amen right there. Most of us never will fall over the too hard. I'm talking about what really is too hard. We fall over the simple things. Amen. We get the poochie lip over the smallest thing. We are not worried about what is too hard. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's plenty that's too hard for me. We could write books. You could write books. We could stay here all night talk about things that are too hard for us. That's right. But the strength, Brother Craig, that I'm to serve the Lord with is not of me. Amen. Me making it, Brother Frankie, me living for the Lord in our wicked hour that we're living in, living a triumphant Christian victorious life, I want to tell you it doesn't come from what's too hard for me or what is too easy for me. Amen. No, no. What I'm able to do, no. It comes from the fact that the God I serve has no limits. Oh, boy, that's good. My Lord, that helps us. Let me give you this tonight. Of course, creation testifies, this whole other message in itself, but creation testifies that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Creation does. When you look around and you count your problems and you see how vast they are and how big they are and immeasurable they are, then just go out there on a clear night and look up. I mean, you can see stars that are hundreds of thousands of light years away. Hundreds of thousands, millions of miles away, and you can see them. All of that God created by the word of his power and upholds it. Holds it all into place by the word of his power. Let there be, and it was. That's the God you serve if you're saved. Creation testifies there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Can I say, ladies and gentlemen, that Calvary shows that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Now, I know that's just a simple statement, but it's deep with truth. You look at all that Calvary included and involved and required. It required God becoming a man. It required God, listen, robing himself in flesh and becoming the Son of Man, living a sinless life. The cross proves that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. The most impossible thing on planet Earth was to cancel out the sin debt. You had a debt you owed, but you couldn't pay. Amen. If you went to hell and suffered forever and ever and ever, you'd never, ever come to the place where you fully paid the sin debt. You know why? Because the wages of sin is what? Death. And since you go, a person that goes to hell, listen now, a person that goes to hell forever. They will be eternally dying, but will never die. Because if they ever died, then they would have paid the sin debt. They would have paid the sin debt. But since they never will die, never will die, then that active, ongoing, eternal condemnation is in action. but I can't go to hell because the sin debt has been paid, but I didn't pay it. The wages of sin is death. Amen. The record shows I died, but I didn't die myself. It wasn't my cross I died on. No, I didn't die. Jesus died for me. Jesus paid the sin debt for me. So when the law requires condemnation, Calvary says the debt has been paid. The law has been satisfied. The wrath of God has been appeased. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. So, and here's the third thing. Conversion says that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Now, I want to tell you, salvation is a light thing to us. It's a little thing to us. You say, you don't think so? Look how people are living. Tell me it's not a little thing. Hey, man, go days with never saying anything about it. Sit in services, end on end of services, and never testify. I say it's pretty little. But it wasn't little on God's end. You look at what it required to save you. Look what required for God to save you. Listen, and that shows right there that nothing's too hard for the Lord. I preached several years ago on this subject of is there anything too hard for the Lord? And I don't remember what all my points were, but I wrote some of them down from memory this morning. No problem that he cannot solve. There's not a person he cannot save. There's not a promise that he cannot support. There's not a provision that he cannot supply. And there's not a prayer that he cannot send the answer to. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And listen, this is important. This is simple preaching, but I'm telling you it's important. Because we're facing the uncertainty of tomorrow. We have no idea what's going to happen. We have no idea what's going to happen on the international scale. Have no idea. We don't have no idea. Amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, our confidence is not to be in America. Our confidence is not in Washington. Our confidence is not in any kind of world leaders, world council. Amen. The United Nations, none of that. Our confidence is in the Lord. Amen. 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 I like that. That's exactly right. Praise the Lord. But listen, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. God will never ask you to do what you cannot do. But he does ask you to believe what you cannot do, what he can do. I want you to think about this tonight. The devil is not really after your talents. And really, don't mistake what I'm saying. The devil's not really after you reading your Bible. He's not really, listen, I'm going somewhere. He's not really after you being faithful to church. The devil's not really after you witnessing. You say, preacher, what's he after? He's after your faith. Because if he can get your faith, then he's got your faithfulness. He'll have your giving. He'll have your witnessing. He'll have your working. He'll have your worshiping. He'll have everything about you if he can target and tear down and chip away your faith. Everything that you and I embrace tonight is a faith-based belief. It's a faith-based. Everything's faith-based. Did you know Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please him? That's what the scripture says. Amen. Let me read that to you. You don't have to turn unless you just want to, but I want to just read it just because I want you to know it's still in the scripture. Amen. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. I'm preaching tonight stuff that you already know. I know that, and you know that. But I'm preaching to your faith. I'm preaching to your faith to believe what is impossible with man is not impossible with God. So I'm preaching to your faith. And many times, listen to this, many times when God wants to do something supernatural, he uses you to do it. He used Abraham and Sarah to do it. Though it was supernatural and impossible, amen, yet God used them to do it. When he come to the tomb of Lazarus in John chapter number 11, when he come to the tomb of Lazarus, guess what he told them to do? Roll away the stone. Move the stone. Now, he could have done that. He could have just said, stone, be moved. He could have just looked at it. He could have thought it. He could have took his pinky and moved it, you know. But he always wants man to be involved. He wants to use people. Do what you can, and God will do what you can't. You can roll away the stones, but you can't raise Lazarus. You can move the stone, but you can't raise Lazarus. Amen. That's right. Abraham and Sarah, they could be husband and wife, but it took God to bring about the conception. So anyway, listen, God never asks you to do what you cannot do. In fact, many times what he can do and what you can do goes together. You do your part and God will do his part. Amen. Even the blind men in the book of Matthew, they come to him following him. And they ask him for mercy, have mercy on us. And you know what Jesus said? Believe ye that I'm able to do this? And they said, yea, Lord. And he said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. And their eyes was open. He asked them, do you believe I can do this? Receive their sight? That was impossible. That was impossible. There was no way that could be a natural occurrence. But yet they believed God. Anyway, let's go on. I want to deal with some things, if I can, real quickly. I know we're running out of time here quickly. I want to talk about, just a minute, the word too hard. Too hard. The word too, just T-O, and I know too hard is T-O-O. I understand that. But just the word too, T-O, is used to express motion or direction toward a point, person, place, or a thing approached and reached. You go to. They came to my house. That meant that was a direction, that was motion, that was the point approached and reached. They come to. There's a lot of things that God wants to do in your life. It's his motion. It's his direction. It's his desire to reach those things, accomplish those things. But what many times gets in the way of him doing that is we put another zero on that too. We make it too hard. And that word T-O-O means in addition to that. Yeah, Lord, I know you're wanting to do this, but here's an additional thing. Here's an additional problem. Here's an additional issue. The word too, T-O-O, means to be an excessive extent or degree. It's too hard, Lord. It is beyond our abilities. It's beyond the degree. It's beyond limits. It's too hard. But the limits, it's too hard for us. It's not too hard for the Lord. When you reach your limit, then there is the moreover and the furthermore and the addition to that. When you can't, then there's all of this extra. Did you know that's what a miracle is? You know what a miracle is? What could not have been done naturally? It had to have been done through supernatural means. And you'll do a study sometimes of the miraculous things that the Lord did. Do you still believe that Jesus can do those things? Do you still believe that Jesus can do miracles in our day? Supernatural things? We need a revival of that. We need a revival of faith that embraces God and releases the supernatural abilities of God to do on earth what is impossible to be done. We need that. Do we understand tonight that God does nothing for us except in response to faith? He couldn't save you without faith. Amen. What are we believing him for? I know for myself, you get caught up in all the troubles, heartaches and all the too hard stuff for me and us. And you know what? It'll chip away your confidence in the Lord. It'll chip away your faith in the Lord. And you'll quit praying in faith. You'll quit worshiping in faith. You'll quit believing in faith. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, your faith can get really low in the Lord. Mine has. And it's not because of any of the too hard things of God. There isn't anything too hard for the Lord. It's what I measured out to be too hard. This is too big. This is too much. This is too big. Amen. But the Bible says here that shows us that this is a miracle. What happened to Abraham and Sarah was a miracle. Was a miracle. It was a supernatural happening. Amen. A miracle is a happening that went beyond the limit, ability, power, or possibility of man. Too hard exceeds all natural and earthly resources. It says naturally and earthly, there is no help and no hope, but God can. But God can. If you ever get a chance to listen to that message Dr. Seitler preached years ago, God can. I don't know where you can find it, but you ought to try to find that and listen to it. God can. Out of Psalm 78, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? And then he got to preaching on can God, and he turned it around and started preaching on God can. God can. He only preached it one time, the most talked about message he ever preached in his long ministry. Dr. Seitler, God can. But listen, too hard says man can't do it, fix it, change it, stop it, reverse it. But God says, I can handle it. God says, I can handle it. Many times God moves on purpose in situations and circumstance to make it or bring it to a hard place so that man has no other choice but to look to him. God thrives in the realm of impossible. You look at the miracles in the Bible. You ought to study them sometime. You ought to look at them. We all should do that. I just wrote down a few of them that magnifies the ability of God. The Red Sea deliverance. I know creation, Red Sea deliverance. God could have led them around the Red Sea. He could have completely avoided that. But he led them into that dead-end trap with Pharaoh's army coming in hard on their heels with intent of destruction. He could have led them around. That would have been easy. He could have avoided the Red Sea. That would have been easy. But he led them into a hard, impossible situation. So he could demonstrate his power. He didn't want to lead them around it. He didn't want to avoid it. He wanted to take them through it. To where everybody'd have to say, God did that. Everybody, Brother Mike, would have to say, God did that. What about Gideon when he was facing the 135,000 Midianite army? And his army to start with was only 32,000. He was outnumbered to start with. And God said to Gideon, you've got too many. We're outnumbered already, you know. Lord, what do you mean we've got too many? He said, you've got too many. You'll vaunt yourself. That is, go out and win the battle. You'll puff yourself up and you'll brag on yourself. Look what we did. But God wanted to take it away from the possibility. See, with 32,000, there was at least a possibility. That was 4-1 odds. I mean, that's not good odds, but that was still a possibility that Gideon could pull that off. If they were good soldiers and knew how to fight and all that, they could probably pull that off, you know. Have a few Rambos in there and stuff. I mean, they could have done it. But God says, no, you got too many. And 22,000 of them went to the house when they put the requirement there on them that if you're afraid, go home. 22,000 left him. He only had 32,000 to start with. That left him with 10,000. Now it's 10,000 going up against 135,000 Midianites. 135,000. Their crowd's not diminishing, but Gideon's got his church is going down every time he preaches. He preached one message on being a scaredy cat and 22,000 resigned and went home. And you know what the Lord said? Now that brought the odds from 4-1 to 13-1 odds. But even in that, it looked like, well, I know 4-1, there's a possibility that we could have pulled this off, you know, chances are. But now it's ridiculous. It's 13-1 odds now, and I don't know, Lord. I don't see how this is going to happen. It's moving every step closer to impossibility. And God said, Brother Aaron, said to Gideon, you still have too many. You still have too many? And he told them the second time, he said, here's what I want you to do. Take them down by the brook. And when they go to drink water, said, you watch them. Every one of them that stoops down and sticks their face in the water and drinks, send them to the house. And those that reached down with their hand and scooped up the water while staying alert of the enemy and staying ready, he said, you keep them. 9,700 went to the house. Now the odds went from 4-1 to 13-1. Now it's 450-1 odds. I think that's pretty impossible. God says, now I can do something. And God won that great victory that day, and he got the glory for it because it was impossible from a man's point of view. Amen. I want God to do a big thing here to where people look at this place, they'll say, there's no way. There's no way that that little group down there at RBT can send the gospel around the world. There's no way they can have that much influence. And we don't know what kind of influence we got. We don't know. I got a text message from a preacher in Mississippi last night. I've never met the man. I wouldn't know him if he walked in. He said, preacher, you'll never know what a blessing you've been to me. He said, I listen to you online every week. I didn't know that. You don't know who you're helping. You don't know who's watching you. You don't know who's listening to you. But we should want to pray. And listen, we better be careful to pray it. Lord, help us to do a big thing here. Do a big thing here. You know what we're praying? God, you're going to have to get it to where it's impossible. You're going to have to take us to where when people look at the work that's done, they'll have to scratch their head and they'll have to say, no man did that. That group didn't do that. God did that. God did that, amen. What about the cruse of oil that failed not? Have we forgot about that impossibility? The cruse of oil when that widow had the debt on and that she had to pay, and the man of God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go around and get all the empty vessels that you can find. All she had was a little pot of oil, the Bible said, just a little pot of oil. And so they went around to the neighbors and everywhere, and they got every empty pot they could find, every one they could find, and brought it in. And God says, through the man of God, now says, start pouring. Just start pouring. Little cruse now, just a little pot of oil. Just start pouring. She started pouring, and it poured and poured and poured, filled up this pot, this pot, this pot, this pot, that pot, those pots, all the pots was full, and the Bible said the cruse failed not. There was still as much oil in it after they'd done filled up all of those. Then when she started, that was an impossibility. There wasn't no hose hooked to that. There wasn't no oil pump behind the house, amen, that kept filling that cruse of oil. No, that was God that said, amen, just keep growing, just keep supplying, just keep, she's pouring it out and God will keep pouring it in. You can't outpour what God's pouring in, amen. And when it was all done, all them pots were full out of that one little one. You said, preacher, I'm just a little Christian. But God is able to just keep pouring through your life. And then she took all of those pots and sold them and had enough money to pay off the debt. Reckon she, I don't know. Maybe that little pot wasn't much bigger than that. I don't know how many ounces that is. 10 ounces. It was something she could hold in her hand. It couldn't have been much bigger than that. Even if it was twice that, that's still small. And here's 5-gallon buckets sitting around everywhere. Here's all kinds of big pots and everything. And she just, yep, that's full. Now it's full. Who knows? It might even been one you could see through. And it's still full. Hallelujah. And eventually she started watching it. She said, God can do it, amen. God's not limited with my little. God's not limited with my little. He can make little more than enough, amen. God delights for it to get to. Have we forgot about that? Have we forgot about the wilderness provisions for over 2 million Israelite people? Food, clothing, water when there was none. Have we forgot about that? That was impossible. That was impossible. Have we forgot about the fiery furnace of the three Hebrew boys in the book of Daniel? Have we forgot about that? That was impossible. There's no way to survive that. It was so hot it killed the men. It even threw them in. But they survived. Come out without even the smell of smoke on them. Hair wasn't singed. Miracle. God did it. Amen. God did it. Have we forgot about the virgin birth of Christ? Have we forgot about that? Mary, when she was told what the plan of God, she said, how can this be? This is not possible. This is not natural. This is not normal. I don't know. I've never known a man. And when the angel told her what God was going to do, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. This impossibility is going to be made possible because the Spirit of God can do it. And when she heard that, then she said, and of course the angel went on to say, what's possible, what's impossible with man is possible with God. And her next statement was, be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. The resurrection of Christ, on and on you could go. Miracles. But let's look back in chapter 18 real quick. I'm right now done. Chapter number 18 of Genesis. I just want to mention two or three things here. I'm leaving off several things, but there's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's nothing that exceeds His limits because He has no limits. It can't be too big because He's bigger. It can't be too hard because He's already proven Himself from Genesis all the way through, amen, many times over to be bigger than impossible things. But here's three things I want you to write down. Number one, and the Lord actually just gave these to me after I got to church. The first thing that I noticed is that the first thing they did was they inspected their own ability. Abraham and Sarah both. They both testified, you know, we're old, well stricken in years. Verse number 11 of chapter 18. We're old and well stricken in years. And look at this next statement. It said, and it ceased. It ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. That word cease means to stop. Cease to be, to leave, undone, to come to an end. Lord, you're wanting to start a big thing and I'm ended. My body is ended. Hey, don't get too excited right there. I just seen something. The Lord can start a big thing when you've come to an end. God's beginnings can come out of your endings. When you get to the place to where there's, I'm done. Romans chapter 4 talks about she considered her body being dead. That's the way she worded it in Romans. And Abraham did as well. They considered their body to be dead. But dead is the end for us. But God says, no, I'm able with resurrection power. I'm able to start when something has stopped. I'm able to begin when something has ended. When it looks hopeless, I can do it. Listen to this verse right here. I want to read that. Romans chapter 4. Y'all still with me? I feel like I lost some of you about 20 minutes ago. I don't know. Chapter 4, verse 16 of Romans. Verse 16. Chapter 4. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be of grace to the end, the promise. This is speaking of Abraham and Sarah and the promise and all that that we've been preaching from. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which also is of faith. is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Look here in verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Well, who against hope, when something's impossible, it's hopeless. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, there it is. Abraham, in spite of it all, believed God. And look what it says. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Notice that. He considered not his own body, now dead. He considered it not. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. That word consider there means that he did not perceive it. He did not fix his mind upon it. He did not even observe it. He was believing against it. Amen. Greater power from God. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. The first thing they did, and many times it's the first thing we do, we inspect our abilities. When there's something demanding on us, when there's something asked of us, first thing we do is, can I do it? We check we start checking off what I can do and all of that. And what are you going to do when God asks you to do what you think you can't do? There's no doubt about it. There's been people ask of God to do things, and they turned God away because they said, I can't do that. Is it you can't do that or you won't do that? There's a difference. There's been people, no doubt, God asked to sing, and they wouldn't do it because they think, I can't sing. There may be some that God says, I want you to do this or that, and you measured it all out and brought it into comparison, and you measured it out with your abilities. And you say, I can't do that. I'm dead to that. I'm done past that ability. That's something that I should have done years ago. The first thing that happens when you consider something to be too hard is you inspect your own self and you realize, well, I can't do that. My ability in that area has done ceased. Here's another thing quickly. I don't have time to deal with this, but here's another thing. You'll become impatient on the timing. Verse number 10, verse number 14, three times it talks about timing, the time of life and the time appointed. If you're not careful, now listen now, I'm about done. The impatient of timing. When God says, I'm going to do this, this is my will, but it's going to be in a time appointed. If you're not careful, as did Sarah and Abraham, you'll get impatient and you'll start trying to help God out. I have a bad problem with that, and I believe we all do. We become impatient. God said he's going to do this, Brother Craig. God said he's going to do that. God's told us. But days come and go, weeks come and go, months come and go, sometimes maybe even years come and go, and it hasn't happened. If we're not careful, we'll become impatient, and we'll start trying to calculate and figure and, amen, and put our 2 cents worth in, and that's where Ishmael come in. Sarah says to Abraham, God says, well, I'm going to have a son, and that's not happening, so maybe we need to do it another way, and brought in Hagar, the handmaiden. And of course, that wasn't the seed. That wasn't the promised seed. Have you ever gotten in trouble trying to help God out? Lord, have mercy. Anyway, the first thing is you'll have an inspection of your own ability, and that's never going to come up with a good answer. That's always going to... Here's the results of checking out your abilities. When God asks you to do something, it'll come to the end and it'll say, can't do that. I might could have done that once upon a time, but I can't do that. You'll become impatient on the timing. Chapter 16, I don't have time to go back there, but you can look at it. You know the story anyway. You can go back and look chapter 15 and 16, where Sarah and Abraham come up with plan B to try to help God out. Poor old God. He's a supernatural God, nothing too hard for him, but he needs our help, figures that out. Thirdly, not only the inspection of your ability, the impatience on timing, and that's something right there that'll throw us sometimes if we're not careful. God don't always operate on my schedule and my calendar. God sometimes, he come to them, though he told them they were going to have the son and all that, he said it was going to be a time appointed. There's going to be a time it's going to happen. Amen? God works on timing. Where I get in a mess, and you do as well, as I get impatient. But anyway, not only impatient inspection of your ability and impatience of timing, but thirdly, there'll be the involvement. That is, God's going to do this supernatural thing. Listen, God's going to do this supernatural thing, but he's going to use us to do it. Amen. It's not that I'm just going to do this supernatural thing with you, Abraham and Sarah. I'm going to do this thing in you, but I'm also going to do it with you. You do your part and I'll do my part. Listen, what God has planned for your life, he wants you to be involved. You've got to be involved. He's not going to do it without you. He's going to do it through you. Amen. He can do the impossible if he has an instrument to do it with. And so there's involvement. When God wants to do something so big that it's impossible, listen, to man, naturally speaking, then God says, I want to use you to do it. Let me ask you something tonight. How many of you in the service, don't raise your hand or respond out loud, but how many of you asking God to do something big through your life? You're asking God to do something big. That's a desire in your heart. God, I want you to do something big in my life. God wants to use you, your involvement. And then the last thing is there's an inspiration. Abraham believed in hope against hope. Abraham believed the impossible. The Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. There's an inspiration. What do you mean, preacher? Even though we cannot explain it, and even though we cannot see it, and we cannot wrap our little small brain around it, yet inside of us is a faith that believes God. God said it, and God can do it. The word there in Jeremiah where he said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Then he answers it, there is nothing. The word nothing cancels out the word anything. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. And that word nothing means word, W-O-R-D, word. That is, if God says it, it is not too hard for him to do it. It also means a matter. There is not a matter that he cannot do. There is not a cause he cannot do. There's not an act. There is not, listen, any such thing. There's not a care. There's not a case. And there's not a cause that he cannot do. I hope that God stirs our confidence to believe him and trust him against feelings. You're going to have to believe God sometime. You're going to have to believe God against how it looks. You're going to have to believe God against how it feels. You're going to have to believe God against what others are saying. And I'm going to tell you, friend, that's not easy. That is difficult. We are, and you know it's right, we are so bound and controlled living under the umbrella of what I can understand and what I can explain and what I can see and what I can feel and go through my checklist of my abilities, and yeah, I can do that. That we fail to even pray about supernatural things. We fail to believe God about things thought impossible. I believe it's a year for us here to believe God concerning supernatural things. That's right. Get our eyes on Him instead of on each other. That's right. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Too much, too big, too great? To exceed the limits? I want God to do something big in my life. Amen. I want Him to do little things too, but I want Him to do big things. And He can and will. Amen.